This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning, everyone. We want to call the Senate Education Committee to order. And I'd like to welcome all of you in the audience today and those that may be listening to us online through the South Dakota Public Broadcasting live stream. As we always do, I like to have everybody grab their little devices and take a quick look at those and make sure that we've got them on silent or turned off. And this is just in courtesy of our testifiers so that they're not interrupted as they're given testimony with our phones going off. And at this time, we will make sure we have a quorum and ask Madam Secretary to please call the roll.
Senators Bolin?
Here.
Jensen?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Steinhauer?
Here.
Einert?
Here.
Kurd? Solano?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Okay, great. We had the minutes that were previously distributed from our February 26th meeting. Is there any motion by Senator Bolin, second by Senator Jensen? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? Okay, the motion for the minutes is complete. All right. We're going to remind our testifiers to make sure that you've signed in at the podium. As always, I ask that you write legibly so that our minutes can be accurately reflect your name. If you have any handouts, we have our two pages that will assist us in doing this. And we'd ask that the testimony and questions come through the chair. We want to give our pages an opportunity to come forward and introduce themselves. Let us know where you go to school, what year of school you're in, and if you have post-high school plans or anything else interesting about yourself. So don't be shy. Jump up to the microphone.
I'm Tommy or Tomina Niles. I'm a senior at Plankton High School, and after high school, I plan on attending the University of Minnesota Twin Cities for psychology.
Thank you.
I'm James Lees. I'm from Peer Thea Friggs. I'm a senior, and I plan on going into physical therapy. I don't quite know what school I'm going to yet for undergrad.
Great. And I think James and another committee had indicated you'd finish in sixth spot, wrestling at 220, which is probably about 20 pounds heavier than he is. So he'd have to add weight to himself to get to the 220 mark. So congratulations on that. We greatly appreciate our pages that help us out both in committee and on the floor, helping keep us organized and get things for us as we move along. So thank you for your service to us and to the state of South Dakota. Okay, we've got just the one House concurrent resolution 1006 in front of us today. And so this is to instructing South Dakota's congressional representatives to support an effort in Congress to terminate the U.S. Department of Education. With that, we'll begin with proponent testimony. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate Education Committee. Senator Stace Nelson, District 19. I'm one of the prime sponsors on this resolution. I'm a palms-up kind of guy. I have to admit this is a partisan issue. This has been a partisan issue since about 1979 when the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, was formed. This has long been an issue that Republicans have fought against. As a matter of fact, on September 24th, 1981, in his address to the nation on a program for economic recovery, President Ronald Reagan said, as a third step, we propose to dismantle two cabinet departments, energy and education. Both secretaries are wholly in accord with this. Some of the activities in both these departments will, of course, be continued either independently or in other areas of government. There's only one way to shrink the size and cost of big government, and that is by eliminating agencies that are not needed and are getting in the way of the solution. Department of Education is one of those problems. Currently, the Department of Education has 3,912 employees with an average salary of over $105,000 a year. The annual budget for the Department of Education is $68 billion. And the empirical information that's out there, and probably the statistical information supports this, education has not gotten better under the Department of Education. I think that's the key thing that we need to look at. I don't want to beat this issue to death. Most of us have been around long enough. We've heard this issue. We understand the issue. Matter of fact, in 2014, when I ran for the U.S. Senate, my opponent, this is one of the issues that he talked about extensively on the campaign trail and after the primary was over with, was abolishing the Department of Education. I do believe that President Trump also mentioned abolishing the Department of Education and the Department of Energy. Now, there is currently a bill in Congress that seeks to do exactly that. And what we're attempting to do in this case is let Congress, our own elected officials, hear our voice on this issue and give them support to cut parts of government that have been considered unnecessary. $68 billion is a lot of money. And what we've seen in the state of South Dakota is that the Department of Education at the federal level oftentimes gets in the way of local control and what South Dakotans believe is in the best interest of our children. And that's where that control should be, is here locally in South Dakota. The bureaucrats in D.C., obviously cannot understand what is in the best interest of our students here in South Dakota. So I'll stand by for questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator. Take further proponent testimony on House Concurrent Resolution 1006. Further proponent testimony. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to House Concurrent Resolution 1006? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and we'll open it up for committee questions if we have questions of the testifier. Senator Boland.
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment 1006CA that will make some minor changes to this resolution. When I have the pages distributed now?
Yep, let's distribute that as the prime sponsor received a copy of that amendment. Okay, thank you. So we'll stand at ease until we get the amendment distributed and give our committee members a minute to take a look and compare that to the bill as engrossed.
What my amendment does is to... actually, if you just turn to page 2, line 2, that paragraph at the top of page 2 would read, whereas the United States Department of Education exercises dictatorial control over state and local schools through controversial, expensive, and experimental educational schemes such as, I added the phrase, no child left behind, race to the top, Common Core standards in every and the recent Every Student Succeeds Act. I just wanted to add in a few other things there. And then on line 8, I'd like to change that sentence to say, whereas Senator Mike Rounds spoke against the necessity of the Federal Department of Education during his 2014 campaign. I have a slightly different remembrance than the senator does, because I went to a number of events during that campaign, and I don't ever remember myself hearing the our former governor and now U.S. senator saying he wanted to abolish. He kind of couched his words by saying, "Do we really need this department?" Those type of things. But the good senator, but the good senator from Fulton is correct that our current U.S. senator did almost invariably in the 3 or 4 particular campaign stops that I witnessed always brought this issue up as to something that he was seriously thinking about or working on, would be the why do we need a Federal Department of Education? So I just would like to bring this amendment to I think more accurately reflect at least my ideas as to this resolution.
Thank you, Senator. The amendment has been distributed. Then I would entertain a motion for amendment if that's the desire of the committee.
I move the amendment 1006 CA.
We have a motion by Senator Jensen, second by Senator Steinhauer, to move the amendment C-1006 CA. Discussion on that motion.
Mr. Chair, I think I've pretty much explained it. I don't think I need to go into it any more depth. It changes the language some, but it essentially does not in any way change the fundamental nature of the resolution. And I would. Would the main chief prime sponsor agree to that?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll provide some latitude here that prime sponsor can speak to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With your permission, yeah, Senator Bowen, I agree. I double-checked. Senator Rounds did say that he would vote to abolish it and that he wanted to defund it. But, I think it's tomatoes, tomatoes. It still has the same – it still documents the fact that, we're in some way supporting his spoken commitment to abolishing the Department of Education. So I think it's a neutral amendment, and I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion to amend? Hearing none, voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay?
No.
Okay. The bill or resolution is amended. Okay. We'll continue then with any questions as it relates to the amended bill. Any questions, Senator Bowen?
Question for the prime sponsor. In the statement that you read or you talked about in your initial remarks concerning President Reagan in the spring of 81 talking about the elimination of the Department of Education and Department of Energy, he indicated that certain functions would be continued on in other aspects of government. Could you perhaps elaborate on what some of those might be? What would be some of the things that the current, or even if we go back to 1981 when it was only 2 years old, what would be some of the things that would be continued would be continued under a different aspect of government?
Mr. Chair, thank you, sir. Well, I do want to clarify. It was September 21st, and it was addressed the nation on his program for economic recovery. But some of the things what you would expect to see is in the abolishment of the Department of Education is the grants that they currently have and oversee, and I use air quotes to say that. We've seen how they oversee federal grants in the debacle of the Gear Up program that we had here in South Dakota. That would end up being, had to be placed into to what would be probably called block grants. So that would be just one example of what we would see in a transition of abolishing the Department of Education is you would lose that bureaucracy that for all intents and purposes is it's like an unnecessary appendage on the federal government. The biggest thing is, has been pointed out since the onset, the Department of Education is believed to be unconstitutional, and it was outside the auspices of Congress to enact. So the biggest thing is any duties that it had would be absorbed by every state has a Department of Education. So those duties would be transferred locally, closer to home, and overseen by the states.
Can you follow up?
More specifically, to the best of my knowledge, Pell Grants are handled in the Federal Department of Education. Would those be in any way affected by the removal of the ending of this as a separate, standalone Department of Government?
Mr. Chair,
go ahead.
I'd have to look into that further. I believe Pell Grants were in existence before 1980, if I'm not correct, and they were handled differently back then.
Follow up?
May I comment on his remarks?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I believe they were, but they were not known as Pell Grants at the time. They were named after a U.S. senator from Rhode Island named Claiborne Pell. That's where the name came from. And then federally guaranteed student loans, would those be in any way impacted, to the best of your knowledge, by the abolition of the Department of Education, or do you think they could be handled through another aspect of government?
Mr. Chair. Thank you for the question, sir. I do believe that it can be handled. I mean, we're talking about before 1980, all this occurred without Department of Education. So, you know, there's ample evidence that all these things occurred without the Department of Education's involvement before 1980. So I have no doubt that we'll be able to survive without the Department of Education if it truly is abolished.
Thank you.
Senator Heiner.
Thank you. Senator, do you know where this was handled prior to 1980? Do you know what agency handled that?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
No, I don't.
Follow up?
You say in your resolution, and I mean, I see part of what you're trying to do, but you also talk about Common Core Standards, Every Student Succeeds Act. Now we have Race to the Top and No Child Left Behind. Where do you see the biggest intrusion into local control?
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Excuse me. Well, Senator, I believe that the biggest intrusion of local control occurred in, I believe, 1978 through the 1980 timeframe, when the federal government created the Department of Education and took away the local control from states and especially South Dakota. So we'd have to look back at the origins of that incursion into state control of education.
Follow up?
Well, I guess I should have been a little more clear in my answer. Where do you see the intrusion in local control right now? What is your biggest contention?
Mr. Chair, well, sir, that my answer would remain fundamentally the same, and that's with the Department of Education at the federal level. The interference with local control starts with the Department of Education. And it is shown to be cataclysmic for the state of South Dakota. South Dakota used to rank in the top of the nation for the longest time. And if you look back over the history, the more the Department of Education asserted control over education, the worse our results in South Dakota got. So I definitely think that the federal control, Department of Education, involvement in South Dakota education and taking over the control from South Dakota and local schools is definitely the origin of the problem.
Follow up.
Go ahead.
Can you explain the correlation between the federal Department of Education, the South Dakota Department of Education, and then our local school boards?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Senator, it's not my job to educate you on that. And I frankly don't have the time right now to go into the whole entirety of it. If we don't have a working knowledge of that situation as current senators, then there's a problem.
Well, want you to answer the question.
I'll save mine for comments.
Okay. Further questions of the committee? All right, I've got just a couple. So as it relates to on page 1, lines 6 and 7, and this probably is a bit of a history test as it relates to the re-election being in 79, the establishment of the department seen as a political move for the re-election. I guess my question is how do we – what evidence do we have that would say that that's an accurate implication or statement?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Give me one second to pull it up.
Sure.
What was your question again, sir?
So I'm looking at on page 1, line 6 and 7, where it has the whereas the Department of Education established 1979. Question is, do we have any evidence or anything that would be definitive to say that that statement is accurate, that this was done as a political move? Let me read right from it. Political move to assist in the re-election bid.
Sure. Thanks, sir. I've read numerous accounts where this was, in fact, a political move. It was a give to the teacher unions at the time. I don't think it's in dispute that that was the case, that the Department of Education was created as a political move by the Carter administration. Senator Bowen probably is a better expert on that than myself, and without any disrespect, he's definitely got a couple years on me. But this has been a long-standing political issue between the Democrats and Republicans. And from my knowledge of this, it has been an established understanding that this was, in fact, a political move, and it was a give to the teacher unions, is from my recollection of reading about the historic events.
Okay. Thank you. Not to dispute the politicalization that's happened with the Department of Ed. I don't know that I'd, in my history lessons, I'd ever heard it referred to as from a re-election bid. So I think that's a good answer. And maybe in discussion, if the good senator from Canton has a history lesson for us, he can provide it. Second question, I always believe that, you know, all bills that we bring forward have upsides and downsides to them. I'm not in disagreement with, you know, the more that we can bring to the states and local control can be a good thing in many areas of life. But, and I see that as the potential upside to something like this. But what do you see as the downside? Because I believe everything has an upside. Everything has a downside. Have you contemplated that at all with what we're asking the Congress to do?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, and I agree with you. There's going to be growing pains, without a doubt. You're talking about if this was successful, and we're saying if Republicans have been battling this since 1980, 1981. It has been, you know, I believe it's been part of the Republican platform. I know there was resolutions on it by the National Committee. I know that there's states that have it, Republican parties that have it as resolutions and part of their platform to abolish the Department of Education. But when you have such a massive governmental bureaucracy sitting on the back of education, if you take that off, obviously there's going to be some decompression issues in regards to transferring that bureaucracy and that control back to the states. And, but I think it is a necessary growing pain that we've got to take a step back from. You know, if we take a look at our education results, in the past several three decades, we can take a look at this and see that we haven't gotten better. All this bureaucracy hasn't made education of our children better. It's taken away the local control. I've lost count. I think every legislator I know of has bemoaned the fact that the local control in education has been taken away. And as pointed out, getting that local control back and having that in the Department of Education in the state of South Dakota, and more importantly, a mass amount of that being transferred to our school boards for that local control, I do believe that the benefits would far outweigh any of the growing pains that we would suffer from the decompression of taking away the Department of Education.
Okay. Thank you. And maybe just in follow-up, and I don't know if this is as much of a question as it is a comment, do we see then, if we were to do that, we bring this back to within the state of South Dakota, are we just simply transferring our frustration from the federal government controlling education to the state government completely controlling education?
Well, sir, then the blame would be on us. So any frustrations we would have, we just have to look in the mirror and deal with those frustrations. And frankly, I would much rather see those problems in education addressed by Senator Steinar, yourself, Senator Heinert, Jensen, and the rest of our colleagues, vice faceless, nameless bureaucrats in D.C.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. For any other questions? Seeing no other questions, thank you. We'll waive rebuttal. I guess I should have probably made that clear to start with. And we will now go if there's any committee discussion and or action. Senator Boland?
Just a couple of brief comments. And before there was a standalone federal Department of Education, there was an aspect of government called Health, Education, and Welfare. There was a department called HEW, and I think some of that has become Health and Human Services now. I think that's a separate department of the government, and education is now a separate department of the government. But there was, to answer that one question, there was a thing called HEW, and Health, Education, and Welfare. That's my best recollection of that back in the 70s, and I can remember when I was, you know, I hate to keep saying when I was in school, but when I was in the 8th grade, we had to memorize all of the federal departments of education, all the federal departments of the government, and know who the secretary was. That was one of the things that my 8th grade teacher in social studies insisted that we do. So, but that there was a thing called HEW. I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Thanks, Senator. Any further discussion? If not, we move to action. Senator Heiner.
Mr. Chair, I would move HCR 1006 to the 41st day.
We have a motion for the 41st day. Do we have a second? In the interest of discussion, I will make the second and move to discussion on the 41st motion.
Substitute motion.
Go ahead and state your motion.
Do pass House Concurrent Resolution 1006.
Second.
A do pass motion by Senator Jensen, second by Senator Boland for do pass of House Concurrent Resolution 1006 as amended. Discussion on the motion.
I'd just like to comment briefly that, you know, the idea of a standalone federal Department of Education, I believe, flies in the face of the basic concept of American education, which is decentralization and the and I like to say, a lot of people call local control, I like to say state and local control, because, you know, at some point in time, every individual school district has to follow certain state requirements. But I do believe that the federal Department of Education has not been helpful as far as educating young people in the United States. The other thing I just want to say is on this is that there's a tremendous amount of money that is involved here. I don't begrudge these people who live in Washington, D.C., making those salaries with the cost of living there. But one of the things, and I'm just going to digress here just a little bit, Mr. Chair, and you can stop me if you want to. I mean, we have to we have to come to grips somehow with the issue of the federal deficit that keeps, you know, and I'm just going to say this, Donald Trump's done, I think, a poor job of dealing with the federal deficit. This has just kind of gone off the radar. Nobody's even talking about it any longer. Back in 10, 11, 12, everybody's talking about the deficit. Well, we're not talking about, well, you're going to have to deal with this somehow. And I think one of the best ways to start to deal with the federal deficit, which is a gigantic cookie monster that's growing and is going to eat us all alive in the future, is to start with the abolition of this particular department. I would also say that in 2015, I brought a resolution not exactly like this but similar that called for the abolition of the Federal Department of Education. So my vote today is very consistent with what I proposed and was passed by both the House and the Senate in that particular year. So I'm going to leave it at that for at least right now. I do want to emphasize, as I did in my line of questioning, that the abolition of this department does not mean that every function of the current standalone Federal Department of Education would be ended. There would still be a number of these functions that could be transferred to other departments, but a lot of the what I would call intrusive actions of the federal bureaucrats who are involved with testing and all this other stuff, that should come to an end. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to just to bring everybody up to speed. So we originally had a motion for the 41st day. We have an amended motion that's on the table right now for a do pass. Okay, so that's what we're in discussion. Further discussion on the do pass motion, Senator Heinert.
I'll let Senator Jensen, he made the motion. Oh,
Senator Jensen.
Oh,
Everybody's lined up to speak. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, we talk about local control, and it's local control when it's convenient for us. Decentralizing the education department at the federal level would be a good step in getting power back to the states. Local control, where it belongs. Let the states sort through all this. And like was mentioned earlier, $68 billion goes into the U.S. Education Department. That money could go a long ways toward helping other issues. And I just would encourage you to support local control and vote for this. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Heiner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, here we are. I am getting tired of our committee being used as a punching bag. When we see partisan resolutions written in such a fashion, the question I asked of the prime sponsor was a legitimate question of how the Federal Department of Education flows to the State Department of Education, which then flows to our local school boards and then eventually in our local schools. And as somebody as involved, that is involved in education, I find it really insulting that I supposedly have no idea what I'm talking about and that he doesn't have time to explain it to me. Talking about has nothing to do with the Federal Department of Education. Federal Department of Education does not dictate what schools, what curriculum schools use, how teachers teach, what the South Dakota state standards look like. Has nothing to do with that. They do control the purse strings on quite a few things. Free and reduced lunch, some minimum standards of what a teacher prep program looks like. When I see this kind of stuff, if you want to make a political statement, go get a sign, stand out on the corner, and wave it around. Don't bring this kind of stuff to our committees. Try to put us on the spot. This is not how this process is supposed to work. Mr. Chair, these kind of resolutions, comments that are made, are completely useless to all of the kids who are attending all of our schools, all of the administrators, all of the teachers, all of the school boards, that we are supposed to be talking about helping. What can we do to help them? And we're wasting 35 minutes of our time this morning talking about abolishing the Federal Department of Education. And according to my numbers, Republicans have had 22 years of a president out of 16 for a Democrat since 1980. If they really wanted to do it, they could probably get it done. So I would just say, resist this motion for due pass. Let's talk about some things that actually make a difference in kids' lives in South Dakota. Thank you.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion of due pass. Further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Jensen. Hold up. Anybody like to speak before Senator Jensen speaks a second time? Senator Steinhauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Like to speak is maybe a little bit of a misnomer. Feel somewhat compelled. If I had a nickel for every time somebody says we're wasting our time up here, I'd have a lot of nickels, I guess. The thing is I don't have a filter on what's brought before us. The legislature doesn't have a filter on the bills and the resolutions that are brought before us. And I'm thankful that we live in a state where all of us who basically got here the same way have the ability to put forth an idea, whether it's a bill or a resolution, and that it gets a hearing in the state of South Dakota where it's not a pocket veto that may occur in other places. So while some of us might view these things as a waste of time, and I wish that some things didn't come forward, when they are in front of me, then I got to try and make the best possible decision that I, as a representative of my people, can make. Now, when it comes to the Department of Education, you know, sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for. You eliminate it, and we might have a whole new set of bureaucracy that comes our way. We don't know. Nobody can predict what would happen. I don't have a lot of faith sometimes in our federal government to control themselves, so we might end up with more bureaucracy and more mandates from a new department that kind of replaces them. I don't know. But I do believe that we have our federal government continues to swell. So while I can't speak to what's going to happen, I do believe that there is waste inherent in the Department of Ed. Now, one thing that stuck with me is that we're 0.4% of the nation's population. But if you take the number of individuals here, 4,500, making an average of 105, and I don't begrudge them making that, I don't know how you could get by at $105,000 in Washington, D.C. But 0.4% of that number is a couple million dollars that we might be able to get in a block grant just from the elimination of those people. And I doubt you'd eliminate them all. But we've also talked in this committee about unfunded mandates, special education. We need to take care of those people in the state of South Dakota. I'd rather see some of the waste rolled into a block grant and come down and let us do what we need to do in this state. And again, so I don't know what will happen if you did eliminate a department yet. I don't think that anything will happen as a result of this resolution, but it's in front of me. So now I got to take a stand, and I don't like the waste, so I'll be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is part of the process. Not every bill that comes before the legislature is one that I like. That's just the way it is. The comment was made that there's no impact from the Federal Education Department, basically, on the state level, yet we had the failed federalized Common Core standards that have dumbed down children in South Dakota and kept our scores flat, to say the least. This has been especially hard on Native American children, whose scores are even lower than the rest across the state. Failed federalized Common Core standards. And then assuming that all teachers wouldn't like more local control. Every teacher isn't on board with supporting the federal education department. This is all about local control. Let's just send a message to Washington that, hey, we want it back to local control. The states should be in control of our own education. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Any further discussion? If not, I'll weigh in on this. Number of points to make. You know, we talk about local control, but I just watch as we trample over that concept almost every day up here, where we want local control when it suits our ideals and opinions, and we don't want it when it doesn't support that. So, yeah, I think we'll keep talking about local control. That's what we'll, you know, it's easy to campaign on local control. We talk about how we want to bring government down to the most basic level. And I think in some ways we believe that, and yet we have a very hard time actually accomplishing that as legislators. I asked the question about the upside and downside. And, you know, I would agree that if we were to actually be able to bring the decision-making back to South Dakota, that would be seen as an upside. But I'm here to tell you, when we talk about block grants and how block grants are typically based, they're population-based block grants, and we look at education, and we look at what we debate for almost the majority of this, of every session, is how are we going to fund education? We stick that in a block grant that in all likelihood is based on population. That's the downside that I see that we would have with this. Now, would it have to be that way? No. Do I trust that at the federal level they would do anything but take the easy way out and just simply make it a population-based block grant? No, I don't have confidence in that either. And finally, I tend to not like the resolutions. And for this reason, I can even agree with the resolution. But when we pass these resolutions, we pass, in a sense, something that says that the House and the Senate concurring there, we believe this. And it comes across as this unified message that that's what is believed in the Capitol. And I can tell you, just looking at the vote in the House, that, you know, that vote was 48 in favor and 21 in opposed. Hardly a unanimous opinion on this. But then we also get stuck with the fact that we don't have anybody coming up and opposing the resolution. And that creates trouble, I think, also, when we think about it from our perspectives as legislators and committee. Final comment is, I firmly believe it's my job to help ensure that we get, we have to dispose of everything. This is our last meeting. And so whether we're with the do pass motion, if it reverts back to the 41st day, or if it ends up being a send to the floor without recommendation, the one thing I can assure you is we will we'll finish with this bill in the next several minutes. So I appreciate the debate within our committee. This is a very healthy thing for us to debate our thoughts and ideas on this. And with that, we have a do pass motion on House Concurrent Resolution 1006 as amended. And Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Boland?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Smith?
No.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Heinert?
No.
Kurd? Solano?
No.
Three okay. Yeas?
So the do pass motion fails. I'll revert to the motion to the 41st day. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Boland?
No.
Jensen?
No.
Smith?
Aye.
Steinhauer?
No.
Heinert?
Aye.
Kurd excused. Solano?
Aye.
Three.
That motion fails for lack of a majority. We would look to another motion. Senator Boland?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move that we send this to the floor without recommendation.
We have a motion by Senator Boland to send to the floor without recommendation.
Second.
I have a second by Senator Jensen. Any discussion on that motion?
Yes. You know, obviously, I think we have some strong differences of opinion on this particular issue. We don't usually do this, but since this is the last day of the committee and we have one of our members gone, I think this is the best course of action to take, because that way, obviously, I think we have three people who, to one degree or another, feel this resolution should pass. And we have three people on the committee who, to one degree or another, believe this resolution should not pass. Therefore, let's send it to the floor without recommendation. That way, I would say this is my view now, just my personal opinion. That way, nobody really we don't have to ask somebody to vote against their conscience to dispose of the bill. That's what I would like to see. So that's why I would urge us to vote to send it to the floor without recommendation. Then if it's not, maybe people will not want to calendar it. We can go from there. That's my thoughts.
Thank you. Further discussion? And maybe just for people to understand that maybe not familiar with the process. So as that comes to the floor, then there will need to be a motion to basically put that on the calendar and with a do pass motion. And once that happens, then we'll go into the debate and it will get voted up or down. So thank you for the motion and the second. I agree that, again, as I said before, this, you know, I would make sure this moves out of committee one way or the other. And I think that this, in this particular instance, is not a bad way. I probably wouldn't do it with a bill. But with a resolution to come out without recommendation, I think probably is an okay thing. So with that, Madam Secretary, please call the roll. This is a do pass on the motion to send to the floor without recommendation from the committee.
Senators Boland?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Smith?
No.
Steinhauer?
Aye.
Heinert?
No.
Kurd excused. Solano?
Aye.
Four yeas, two nays.
Okay, we on a 4-2 vote, the resolution will go to the floor. Okay, committee, one of the things we have not talked about is if there are ideas that anybody has going as it relates to summer studies. Now, if you've been paying attention during session, we've put a lot of things in the hopper through previous legislation that relates to whether you want to call it a summer study, whether you want to call it a task force, whether you want to call it whatever. We've got a number of things that are on the docket already, but I want to check with the committee. Is there any ideas that you've had that for summer studies? And if there are, then we'll go ahead and schedule another meeting and we can discuss those more fully and then decide whether we want to move those forward as a committee. Any ideas that have been going through your minds? And I don't want to drum up ideas just to drum up ideas. You know, we don't need that either. Okay. All right.
The special ed thing is still the most compelling thing that we have out there. And we've already passed bills on that. So I think that's our most compelling education. Thank you. I think the special ed is the most compelling issue out there. So I think we would be wise to emphasize that and its importance. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So before we finish for the day, since this is our last meeting, we're blessed. I think it's truly a blessing for us to have our LRC staff, Claire and Mona, as our committee secretary, that they, you know, they're here well in advance of us, making sure that we've got everything ready to roll. Definitely keeping myself on track as I mess up how to proceed through meetings. And so I just want, and I'll just speak on behalf of the committee and those that, you know, anybody else that wants to provide remarks, to thank you both sincerely for your service to us. It's probably easy for people to just make assumptions and take advantage and just, you know, we get used to having everything ready for us. And, but I know that doesn't go without tremendous effort on both of your parts. And so with that, on behalf of the committee, I want to say thank you to both of you for your service to us. Any other personal privileges before we finalize our work? Senator Steinhauer?
Mr. Chair, this is my first lap around the track being on an education committee. I want to thank you for your leadership, your tolerance of my stupid questions, but thank you for your efforts.
Well, thank you, Senator. You know, there's certainly a team effort. And this is, I do think that people can come to the committee and watch how we handle business and how we agree and disagree and all of that. And that's what our process of government is really intended to do. So I thank all of you for being so engaged through the process and giving the open and honest debate that we've had. So, okay, with that, we will entertain a motion to adjourn. Motion by Senator Smith, second by Senator Heinert. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay? We stand adjourned.